Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today is another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. I love to answer your questions, and if you have a question you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. Today's question comes from Ravi, who writes, I've been a long-time listener of your podcast. In fact, I won a signed book a few years ago. A lot of respect for you, and I was hoping to get your opinion regarding a build-to-rent investment thesis. I've considered investing through a company called Southern Impression Homes. I'm not sure if you have any experience with them. They build single-family duplexes and quads in Florida and also manage them. The concept seems compelling and appears that private equity companies are now involved. Perhaps my question may have broad interest for your listeners. Once again, thank you for all your great work. Well, Ravi, thank you for the kind words, and this is a great question. I don't know that deal sponsor specifically that you mentioned in your question, so I don't have an opinion on their offering specifically. What I can share is the process we go through to analyze any new opportunity. You need to perform due diligence on three separate elements. Number one, the specific submarket. Number two, the deal sponsor. And number three, the specifics of the deal. We have an extensive due diligence process that we apply to any project. The list is over 150 items long, and frankly, most projects don't meet our criteria. Now, first of all, I love the build-to-rent model. We, in fact, have a build-to-rent community that we recently had approved for development in a suburb of Boise, Idaho. I think about build-to-rent similarly to a multifamily apartment complex. It might have similar amenities to an apartment complex, with the benefit of each unit living more like a single-family home. Many people grew up in single-family homes, and they prefer the single-family home experience to living in, say, the third-floor apartment with a balcony as their only access to the outdoors. From an operational perspective, you need enough units in a single complex in order to afford a single property manager. That means a minimum of about 100 units. Anything less than about 100 units, and you're going to face the choice between paying too much for property management on a per unit basis, or you're going to need to share a property manager with other properties in the area, which usually results in a substandard result. Choosing the amenities carefully is important as well. For the submarket, I want to see an influx of jobs and population. Now, Florida is adding a lot of population, but not all of that population is affluent. The market averages don't really tell the story. In some ways, the averages don't exist in Florida. It's almost like a bipolar distribution where there's a lot of population at the high end, a population at the bottom, and not that much in the middle. There's a large migrant population. Finding that right location for a build-to-rent product is going to be challenging. Most low-rise properties in Florida tend eventually to move down market. If you look at the positioning of these products, they're generally not at the high end. I prefer the townhouse design concept as compared with duplexes and quads, although townhouses can be built in groups of four to create a quad. Some builders do this, and they subdivide the property so that each group of four can be sold independently to separate investors at a later time as part of the exit strategy. Florida is a challenging place to build because the entire state is very low-lying. Almost all of Florida suffers from high water table and poor soil stability. That makes construction very difficult. Many developments need to import crushed stone by rail from Georgia in order to raise the grade and create a stable substrate on which to build. As you can imagine, that's expensive. If the builder cuts corners to save cost, the naive buyer or the naive investor won't know the difference until there's a problem. I've heard some builders say they can stabilize the soil simply through compaction. I think those solutions really don't work. The past decade has seen a lot of storm damage in Florida. Insurance in most of Florida is becoming a real factor in the viability of new development projects. We've seen insurance costs increase by 500% to 700% in some parts of the state. When it comes to the deal sponsor, I want to see a decent track record. Examining their property management systems would be important. Some successful operators use third-party management. I prefer, in fact, to work with large third-party managers that have tens of thousands of units under management. If you're managing in-house, it's important to develop strong systems. Build-to-rent communities are going to be economically strong at first, at least in the first couple of years. The problem is that they're higher maintenance compared with apartments. There's more windows and roofs compared with an apartment complex, and there's a lot more landscaping by virtue of the lower density. If you leave the landscaping to the tenants, the result's going to be poor upkeep, and it won't be long before the entire community looks terrible. This can be addressed through a combination of design and regular weekly maintenance, but you got to make sure that those systems are in place. And finally, you want to look at the specifics of the investment. How is it structured? Are the income and the expenses of those projections realistic? The problem areas that I see most often are in maintenance expenses being underestimated, insurance, absolutely in the case of Florida, and rent projections that might be overly optimistic. And then finally, needless to say, the current interest rate environment is a significant headwind, which has caused a lot of projects to be canceled or put on hold. Due diligence is not easy. It's a ton of work. Like I said, our checklist has over 150 items on it. So it's not really possible for me to answer your question directly, but hopefully I've given you a couple of ideas out of that list of 150 of things for you to look at. If there are parts that you'd like to have a follow-up question or have our team take a look at, feel free to reach out again. I want to thank you, Robbie, for a fabulous question. And for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.